Spirituality and life's humbling experiences tell us that there is a God, and it is not you or me. God is God, precisely because he is completely self-sufficient in himself. He doesn't need anything, but you and I do. We have needs that must be met and that we must attend to if we are to thrive and survive in life. Our whole being, in fact, by its very nature, is one vast collection of neediness. Whether they are simple or complex, easily attainable or out of reach, we are needy. As I've been saying for the last 3 weeks, I can see that especially when I look at Father Carl. Thank you, some of you are awake. Just think about all the needs that you have. In shortening last week's list and highlighting just a few, in your physical needs, you need oxygen, nutrition, and hydration. In your emotional needs, you have a need to be understood and a need for acceptance, a need for self-confidence and self-esteem. You need meaning and purpose in your life. You need to work and to rest. The list goes on and on. And on top of these needs, you have spiritual needs. God has created us with needs, and he gives us the responsibility to tend to those needs. And doing that outweighs most of the responsibilities that you have. On the surface, to some people that may sound very selfish, but it's actually just common sense. You can't help anybody until you've taken care of yourself. If you don't, eventually you will become someone else's problem. On the other hand, when you do take care of your own needs, you'll be more effectively able to care for others. In fact, caring for yourself first can and should be preparation in taking care of other people. If you have any responsibility of any kind, this is essential, because the first 50% of leadership is self-leadership. If you remember when someone asked Jesus what was the most important commandment of all, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." So Jesus teaches us that our very ability to love others rests first and foremost on our love and care for ourselves. Now, we may not deny all of our needs all the time, but we do have a tendency to deny them from time to time. I know I do, and I know a lot of you are just like me, especially that guy right there. There have been times when you knew deep down inside that you needed help, and you didn't seek it until you finally had no choice, when things actually got worse. When we deny even a single one of our legitimate needs, we are not moving towards health, we are actually moving away from it. So during this Lenten season, we are taking a closer look at just how needy we are, how to best meet those needs, and as a result, how to be a healthier disciple of Jesus Christ. So we've talked about three different temptations that we face when it comes to our needs. The first temptation is meeting legitimate needs in illegitimate ways, and that we will be tempted from time to time to do something that we know is wrong in order to meet a real need. In a new example this week, this might be you have to be at a certain meeting and you're running late, and so you break the speed limit trying to get there on time, and maybe even go through a few red lights that just turn red. I know I've done that again. Then the second temptation is meeting legitimate needs through shortcuts. With our needs, we are often tempted to settle for what is a shadow of the real and legitimate need that we have, to take the easy way out by taking a shortcut. So for example, you need to lose weight, but instead of exercising, you buy some weight loss pills that you see on an infomercial that guarantee you results, or your money back. The third temptation, meeting our needs by worshiping them. We can turn our needs into gods. And as the first reading said from the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. But we do that, and we make our needs into the whole of our life, giving them our attention, our affection even, and ultimately giving them everything we have and pursuing them at all costs. This is the person, as an example, who might arrange his entire weekend during the fall season around football, and all of his disposable income and all his free time and all his family time, all of it goes there. And I'm sure some of you have partners that do that. Today, we are going to talk about two needs that go together. And we are meant to live in a rhythm between these two, one and then the other, a nice healthy balance. Life is a constant switching back and forth between these two needs. And to learn more about these two needs that I will mention shortly, we're going to look at a passage from the book of Exodus where God gives the Ten Commandments, which we heard of in the first reading today. But don't worry, we are not going to go over all Ten Commandments. We're not going to look at all of them, just the one that we need to for today. It is important to note, though, that God does not give the Ten Commandments as a condition for relationship, but rather in the context of a relationship. God didn't say, okay, do these 10 things and then we'll talk about a relationship. No, God gave these 10 commandments to the Israelites only after he had demonstrated his power by parting the Red Sea and rescuing them from slavery in Egypt. He gave them the 10 commandments only after he had already blessed them in so many abundant ways. So they had already been in a relationship with God. The commandments themselves reveal God's priorities. They show that God is not only powerful, but that he is also good. God gives the commandments for a more successful living for all of us, because they are necessary elements of good living. And the commandment that we are looking at today is the third commandment, which says, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done then by you. The commandment goes on to explain, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is within them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In the creation story, God works for 6 days. He creates the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And then he creates the crown of his creation in human beings. You and me, made in his image and likeness. Then after all the work of creation, God rests. Why? Is he worn out? Is God tired? No, not at all. God rests to set the pace and the pattern for how he wants us to live. The proper rhythm in which we function best. So let's take a quick look at this pace, at this plan of God's. God begins with work. At one point, there was no physical creation, and he decided to work to create something. Not because he was bored and had nothing to do, but because of the expansiveness of his love and his grace. So God goes to work. Since we are made in his image and likeness, we also must work. Notice the commandment says, 6 days you may labor and do all your work. The commandment assumes an inclination toward work, as if it's already something that we naturally desire. Work, you see, is not a curse that is the result of sin. It is not some kind of punishment. Work is actually part of the plan, written in the very act of creation and carved into our souls, because we have been made, as I said, in His image and likeness. We not only need the produce and profit of our work, but we also need the process of working. For some, that's how we feel our worth, you know, though it shouldn't all come from there. So it's important that we view work in the right way. And there are three different ways that we can look at our work. The first way is to see work as a job. This is probably the worst way to view work. Viewed this way, it is something simply to pay the bills and supply our basic needs. And it does that, and that's good. But when that is all that it does, it's not very satisfying. The second way to look at work is as a career. This is a little better way to view it. This is moving up the ladder, maybe, or making a name for yourself, or building a nest egg. This attitude toward our work might pamper and please our egos, but it doesn't really satisfy. It doesn't really have the satisfaction in our soul that we need to have. And then the third way to look at work is as a vocation. People who see their work as a calling see meaning and purpose in their work beyond just themselves. They recognize the real gifts they possess in service to a greater good, a higher purpose. That kind of work can be very soul-satisfying. And ultimately, if we have it, if we find it, it is indeed a gift from God. We need God in order to have soul-satisfying work. But that's only part of the plan. Work is matched with rest. As I said, there are two things that go side by side in these new needs of today that we're discussing. Work is matched with rest. Rest also gives you the opportunity to enjoy the blessings that God provides. God once again sets this example in the creation story. Genesis tells us that after God created everything, He proclaimed that it is good. Then He stopped creating and He rested. So, rest. It's not just recreation, though it can be that. It's not just attending sports events, though sports and physical activity can indeed help us to relax. Rest is not just entertainment and distractions. These are all time off away from work, and they are good, but they're not the rest that we are talking about. Soul-satisfying work must be matched by soul-satisfying rest. And soul-satisfying rest refreshes the soul and the spirit and leaves us refreshed and equipped to return to our work. And to find that kind of rest, we also need God. This is why in the Psalms, King David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Sheep need to be led to rest. They have to be made to lie down. And since Jesus says that we are like sheep, we cannot find rest on our own. We need to be led to it. We need God to lead us to rest. And this kind of rest begins with weekend worship, coming to Mass. When we make this a priority on our Sabbath, we are putting our trust in God that He will lead us to that place of rest. And you know, that's one reason why, as an aside here, I love Chick-fil-A, because they actually honor the Lord's Day. Remember those days a long time back when things were closed on Sundays? Though I have to say, it's always on a Sunday that I crave Chick-fil-A and I get frustrated. But it's still worth the sacrifice to know to honor the Lord's Day, and they do that. And we all must do that. For our part, one of our priorities in putting together this weekend experience for you on our needs is that it hopefully will help to serve that purpose, that you can leave here encouraged and equipped, and perhaps even a little inspired to go back out to your life and work. Work with more of a balance, the way God has intended it to be for us. God has built into our lives these two dual needs that go together, work and rest. When you hear this message, you probably tend to knowing that right now you have a need for one of those more than the other. I know I do. I've got work under control. My problem is the one I need is the rest. And so for each of us, it's usually one or the other that we need more of in our lives that we're not giving priority to. In regards to work, maybe you're working in a job that is just a job or a career, but it's not really a calling. And you don't find soul satisfaction in that job or fulfillment. This doesn't necessarily mean that you should make a change. Maybe you just need to look at what you're doing in a different light, from the perspective of the greater impact that your work has, or the giftedness that you have received to getting it done. But maybe God is calling you to do something else. Maybe that dissatisfaction is leading you in another direction. As an example, working in the church world, I can tell you that most people who do work for the church, especially those who work in schools, do so because they felt that God called them to a change in their work, in their lives, and to find joy in serving Him by serving others. Maybe God is calling you to work in a nonprofit. Maybe God is calling you to the priesthood or religious life, which, by the way, I can attest to, is very fulfilling and soul-satisfying. And if you do love your work and you enjoy it, blessed are you. And I ask you, take some time this week to thank God for that, because not everybody has that gift, because it is a great gift from God. Maybe you're a student and all of this is still way ahead of you, or maybe you're retired and you're not sure how this applies to you. Take it to prayer. Prayerfully consider what your work will be or needs to be, because we all need to work in one way or another. Now, in regards to rest, maybe you have heard this message and you realize that I need more rest. Maybe you don't have a Sabbath, a day where you really get to rest. Maybe you're tired right down to your soul and you realize your pace of life is just not sustainable. Begin by asking God to help you find that rest, to lead you to a place of rest as He does His sheep. I know I mentioned a lot of maybes in the last few minutes for most of us to think about, but I'm sure that all of us fit into one or more of them regarding our needs for work or rest. Knowing our needs and taking the time to meet them, again, is not selfish. It's living in the reality that we are children of God and created beings. He made us needy so that we will eventually come to understand that our greatest need is indeed for Him.